Usually when we talk about a medical diagnosis, there's this expectation of clinical precision.
Right, like a clear-cut answer.
Exactly. I mean, you break your arm, the x-ray shows that jagged white line, and the doctor just points at the screen and says, "There it is. It's visible, it's categorized, and honestly, it's comforting."
It gives the rational mind a very clear cause and effect. You know, a mechanical failure with a mechanical fix.
Yeah. But then you step into the world of neurodevelopment or chronic pain, trauma, subtle energy, and suddenly that x-ray machine is, well, it's completely
Oh,
useless.
absolutely useless.
Yeah.
You are looking at a diagnostic landscape that is incredibly murky.
Which, oddly enough, is exactly how an exhausted chiropractic student in the late 90s ended up using a hallucination of Superman to supposedly cure a blind girl.
I mean, it is arguably one of the most bizarre origin stories for a modern holistic modality that I've ever heard.
It really is. And we are going to look at it through a pretty diverse stack of sources today. We've got an in-depth interview with the founder himself, Dr. Richard Bartlett, a step-by-step practitioner's guide from the Lucid Mind Center, an overview from the Healist Directory, and a fairly critical comparative blog post from Now Healing.
Which gives us a really well-rounded view.
Definitely. Okay, let's unpack this because we aren't talking about a standard medical intervention here, are we?
No, not at all. Matrix energetics is described by its practitioners as a technology of consciousness.
Right. And to even begin to grasp how a concept that sounds straight out of a science fiction novel came to be, we really have to rewind to around 1996 or maybe 1997.
Yeah, the mid-90s.
Dr. Richard Bartlett was working as a chiropractor, but he was also back at university studying naturopathic medicine, and he was pushed to the absolute limits of human endurance.
The context of his physical state is so crucial here. I mean, Bartlett was taking 37 credit hours a semester.
That's insane.
It really is. He was balancing heavy laboratory work, and then on the weekends, he was driving 13 hours each way from Seattle to Montana just to keep his chiropractic clinic running.
Wow, so 13 hours each way every weekend.
Every single weekend. He was heavily caffeinated, chronically sleep deprived, and essentially functioning in an altered state of total exhaustion.
And it's in that terrain of total burnout that a mother brings her child into his clinic. And this is the very last patient on a grueling Saturday.
Right, he's just ready to go home.
Yeah, exactly. And the child had a blind, lazy eye. The mother tells Bartlett that the surgeons had completely given up, saying nothing could be done, and she basically begs him to just try something, anything.
And facing a completely impossible medical situation, Bartlett's exhausted brain just seems to short circuit.
Yeah, he literally starts rambling. He actually starts talking to this poor mother about the 1950s George Reeves Superman television program.
Which is such a weird pivot.
So weird. He recalls this specific episode about a blind girl flying around the world with Superman. And as he's telling this story, he slips into a full-blown visual hallucination.
He claims he literally saw Superman standing directly behind the little girl, using his X-ray vision to beam right into her head.
And through this hallucination, Bartlett suddenly visualizes this dense, black, energetic blockage sitting right in the girl's visual cortex.
Because his rational medical mind was just too tired to argue, his instinct was simply to clear the blockage he was seeing.
Right. Now, typically, an osteopath or chiropractor might attempt a physical cranial adjustment here.
Yeah, which is pretty invasive. It involves inserting a finger into the roof of the patient's mouth to manipulate the sphenoid and other cranial bones.
But there's this incredible detail in the source material. Bartlett had recently tried that exact cranial technique on his own young son and got bitten, as he described it, like a snapping turtle.
Oh, wow, like a snapping turtle.
Yeah, so he was absolutely not about to risk losing a finger to this random little girl. So, purely out of self-preservation to avoid her mouth, he decides to just gently touch her forehead and follow his hallucination of Superman's X-ray vision.
He describes touching her and seeing a brilliant flash of light travel from his hand through her nervous system all the way down to the occipital lobe at the base of the skull, which is the brain's vision center.
And a moment later, the girl blinks and announces that she is seeing double.
Which is huge. From a neurological standpoint, that means her brain was superimposing two images for the very first time.
The blind eye was suddenly registering visual data. But wait, I mean, we really have to pause here.
Yeah.
A sleep-deprived hallucination about a comic book character birthed an entire structured healing modality. It sounds exactly like an actual superhero origin story. I mean, how on earth do you move from a random exhausted fever dream to a repeatable practice that thousands of other people can learn?
it requires a massive leap. And to be fair, Bartlett himself realized that classical biology and Newtonian physics could not explain what he had just witnessed.
So he had to look elsewhere.
Exactly. When classical mechanics fail, you naturally look to the fringes. What's fascinating here is that Bartlett sought answers in quantum mechanics and torsion field physics to build the theoretical framework for what would become matrix energetics.
Right.
He began to argue that physical reality is essentially just information and light, and the way we experience a disease or a limitation is dictated entirely by which side of the human brain is processing that information.
And the sources break this down with some frankly staggering statistics. According to the interview transcript, the left hemisphere of the brain, our logical, rational problem solver only, processes about 28 bytes of information per second.
28 bytes. That is incredibly low.
When you consider the millions of bits of sensory data hitting our retinas and skin every second, 28 bytes is nothing. The left brain takes those tiny isolated slices of data and strings them together to create a linear illusion of time, space, and causality.
It forces a chaotic universe into a neat, manageable cause and effect box.
While the right brain, the creative, spatial, boundless side, supposedly processes up to a trillion bytes of information per second.
A trillion?
Yeah. It doesn't rely on linear time. It operates in these expansive feeling states. If the left brain is looking at a single pixel on a screen, the right brain is taking in the entire cinema.
That makes perfect sense.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because the sources use an analogy for this that is just brilliant. Think of the 1990s heist movie Entrapment.
Oh, with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes. Navigating our physical reality is exactly like her trying to dodge that web of security lasers.
Yeah.
Those lasers represent the rigid rules, diagnoses, and limitations set by our left brain.
So if you stay in your logical problem-solving mind, you are going to trip an alarm.
Exactly. You are trapped by the expectations of what the left brain has already decided is possible. To slip through the gaps, to experience what we might call a miracle, you have to shift your consciousness completely out of the left brain so you can slide between those rigid slices of reality.
And the physical mechanism to achieve that shift, according to the framework, isn't actually located in the brain at all. It's the heart.
The heart.
Yeah. The sources describe the human heart as having an electromagnetic field up to 5,000 times stronger than the brain. In matrix energetics, the heart acts as a torsion field, which is essentially a spinning vortex of energy. Think of a massive tornado.
Okay, but a tornado is destructive. How does a violent vortex of energy create profound physical healing?
Well, it's not the winds of the tornado that do the healing. It's the eye. The very center of a torsion field is a calm, null point where the violent movement drops to absolute zero.
Oh, I see.
When a practitioner drops their consciousness into that specific zero-point space, they are achieving absolute emotional neutrality. They aren't worrying about a diagnosis, they aren't fearing the future, and they aren't even actively trying to fix the patient. In that neutral space, the normal, rigid rules of classical physics are suspended.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the expert interview source actually brings up the biologist Rupert Sheldrake and his concept of morphic fields.
Yes, morphic resonance.
Right. It's this fascinating theory that biological forms and human realities are shaped by collective memory and expectation. If millions of people expect a broken bone to take 6 weeks to heal, that collective expectation creates a rigid field that locks reality into that exact timeline.
Matrix energetics suggests that if you can use the null point of the heart field to step completely outside those collective expectations, you enter a space of pure, unformed potential.
In quantum physics terms, we talk about the collapse of the wave function. Before you observe a subatomic particle, it exists as a fuzzy cloud of probability. It could be anywhere.
But the moment you look at it, it collapses into a single fixed point.
Right. And Bartlett argues that a disease or a tumor is just a collapsed wave function. The patient and the doctors have observed it so intensely that they've essentially locked it into place.
Matrix energetics is the attempt to uncollapse it, to return the physical body to a wave of pure potential so it can reorganize itself into a healthy state.
But how do you actually do that? Because right now we are floating in some very dense conceptual clouds.
We are. It sounds very abstract.
The Lucid Mind Center source outlines a step-by-step practitioner's guide, and it breaks down into six specific steps. Step one is entering that heart field. Step two is identifying the problem. Step three is placing it out of the way.
They use this fantastic visualization of a virtual clipboard floating above the client's head. You mentally pin the medical diagnosis to that clipboard so your brain stops obsessing over it.
Which prepares you for step four, the absolute signature move of matrix energetics, the two-point connection.
Ah, the two-point. This involves the practitioner physically touching a point of tension on the client's body, say a tight shoulder, and then simultaneously connecting it to a second, completely random point, either elsewhere on the body or just hovering in the empty space of the energetic field.
Step five is to let go. And step six is simply to observe what is different. But let's really dissect that two-point technique. You touch a sore shoulder, point a finger at the empty air, and somehow that unlocks a quantum wave function. Let me play the skeptic here. Is this just an elaborate psychological trick?
That is precisely the right question.
Yeah.
And Bartlett himself is incredibly transparent about it. He openly admits that the two-point technique is essentially a trick.
Really?
Yes, he refers to it as training wheels for the practitioner's consciousness.
So it's literally just a distraction tactic.
Yes, because remember, that 28 byte per second left brain, it desperately needs a job to do. It needs a process to measure, a protocol to follow.
And if you don't give it one, it'll just start analyzing the injury.
Exactly. By giving the left brain the geometric task of holding two distinct points in space simultaneously, you overload its tiny processing capacity. It gets confused and distracted.
Well, that makes sense.
And while the logical mind is busy trying to figure out the relationship between a physical shoulder and a random point in the air, the autonomic nervous system finally gets a break.
Which means the body can downregulate. The patient drops out of the stressed out, fight or flight sympathetic state and shifts into the rest and repair parasympathetic state. The trick gives the nervous system a physical ritual that allows it to finally let go of the tension it was hoarding.
Exactly. The ritual is just permission for the right brain and the heart field to do the actual transformative work.
Which perfectly explains step five, letting go. Melissa Joy, who frequently co-teaches with Bartlett, has the most hilarious practical method for this.
Well, she does.
To truly get her logical problem-solving brain out of the way during a session, she mentally goes shoe shopping. She will literally stand there visualizing different colors of stilettos and winter boots, just so she doesn't accidentally start trying to heal the person.
Because the moment you try to heal someone, you have re-engaged the left brain. You are focusing on a problem that needs fixing, which just reinforces the reality of that problem. You are collapsing the wave function right back into the disease.
So if the technique relies on distracting the conscious mind while the practitioner daydreams about footwear, what does this actually look and feel like for a client?
It's surprisingly normal, actually.
I was actually looking through the Healist directory to see what booking a session entails, and what shocked me is how incredibly lighthearted it is. I found Greg Jones, who is a New Zealand-based certified consciousness coaching practitioner, and his profile, like many others, emphasizes playfulness.
Yes, the environment is entirely devoid of the heavy, solemn drama you often find in clinical medicine or even in some traditional holistic environments like Reiki. Practitioners might use a very light touch, or they might just use visualization. And because the modality operates on the concept of non-local quantum fields, meaning energy isn't bound by distance, virtual sessions are completely standard.
So you could be sitting in your living room in Auckland having a Zoom session with Greg Jones, and the theoretical effect on your nervous system is the same as if you were in his office.
Precisely.
And the directory lists it as beneficial for a huge range of issues: chronic stress, physical pain, severe trauma, emotional imbalances. But the wildest part to me is that literally anyone can learn this. You don't need a medical degree. You don't need decades of meditation experience. You just need to be willing to suspend your disbelief and play.
This raises an important question, though, which the sources touch on repeatedly: the paradox of intention.
The paradox of intention.
Yeah. In traditional medicine, there is a fierce, highly focused intention to cure. The patient is fighting the disease. They desperately want to be healed. But matrix energetics argues that if you desperately need a miracle, you are actively preventing it from happening.
Because needing something inherently means you are hyper-focusing on the lack of it. If you are begging the universe for a tumor to disappear, your left brain is screaming, there is a massive tumor here. You are locking the atoms into that diseased pattern through your own fear.
Exactly. To access the null point of the heart, you have to be completely radically neutral. You have to genuinely not care if the physical reality changes or not.
Which is an incredibly difficult psychological state for a human being in severe physical pain to achieve.
It is.
But it perfectly contextualizes the highly specific and frankly astounding anecdote about Ray Hendricks mentioned in the interview transcript.
Oh, Ray the mechanic, This story perfectly encapsulates the whole philosophy.
It really does. So Ray is a skeptical, no-nonsense foreign auto mechanic. He doesn't believe in torsion fields or subtle energy. He's only at the Matrix Energetics seminar because his wife dragged him there.
Right. He's basically being held hostage.
Yeah. He spends the entire weekend sitting at the back with his arms crossed, silently judging everyone. But during a coffee break, he gets a call on his mobile phone. It's his best friend, whom he hasn't seen in 4 years. And the friend is calling from a hospital bed to say a final goodbye because he has a terminal brain tumor that has metastasized.
Ray is standing outside the seminar hotel, smoking a cigarette, completely devastated. And because he feels utterly helpless, and crucially, because no one is watching him, he decides to try the absurd two-point trick he had just been making fun of.
He holds his mobile phone up in the air like a ruler, points it at nothing in particular, and simply thinks to himself, 4 years ago, he was perfectly healthy.
And then he drops his arm.
Yeah. He didn't expect it to work. He didn't need to prove anything because he thought the whole seminar was nonsense anyway. He was in a state of absolute neutrality.
And a few hours later, the friend calls him back. The friend had spontaneously ripped out his IV lines because he suddenly felt completely energized and fine.
The doctors rushed him in for another scan and the brain tumor had vanished. An instantaneous, medically undocumented healing.
It's unbelievable.
But here is the real kicker of the story. Ray goes back into the seminar room, and the biggest miracle for him that entire weekend wasn't saving his best friend's life. It was participating in a playfulness exercise where he joyfully hallucinated a pink dolphin.
Yes. The seminar facilitators had them doing an exercise to unlock the right brain, and Ray was suddenly running around the conference room, crying with uninhibited joy, cradling an invisible pink dolphin.
I love that visual.
For a rigid, skeptical mechanic who had spent his life trapped in the 28-byte limitations of his logical mind, the true miracle was the complete shattering of his left brain programming. He had finally experienced the boundless, irrational joy of the right brain.
So we've talked about vanishing tumors, comic book heroes, and invisible pink dolphins. I think it is absolutely vital that we ground ourselves here and honestly evaluate the evidence base for these claims.
It's the most crucial step when analyzing any source material that makes such monumental biological claims.
We have to be crystal clear. Matrix Energetics is entirely a practitioner-developed framework. While our sources are packed with these incredible, emotionally resonant anecdotal stories of profound healing, they do not provide any randomized controlled trials or conventional scientific validation.
None whatsoever. The entire modality relies on subjective client experiences, qualitative shifts in emotional well-being, and the practitioner's internal visualizations.
It borrows heavily from the vocabulary of quantum physics, you know, terms like wave function collapse, zero-point fields, and torsion physics, but it uses them as poetic metaphors and psychological frameworks for consciousness.
Exactly. They are not using these terms in a way that an academic physicist in the university laboratory is currently measuring or validating.
It is also important that we neutrally report on the controversies surrounding the modality that popped up in our research. According to the comparative blog post from the site Now Healing, there was a significant fracture within the holistic community regarding the founder, Richard Bartlett.
Yes. The author of that specific Now Healing source notes that they actually reconsidered their public association with the modality.
According to the post, this is because Bartlett began espousing highly controversial political conspiracy theories on his platforms, specifically citing QAnon and Pizzagate.
And as your guide through this material, we just want to say we aren't taking any sides on the politics here or validating those claims.
Absolutely not. We are simply conveying the information exactly as it was presented by the author in our source stack to show that this ideological shift caused a very real rift among practitioners. Some certified practitioners actively distance themselves from the founder because of these viewpoints.
But if we synthesize that controversy with the actual framework of the modality itself, it reveals something quite profound.
What's that?
Regardless of the founder's personal trajectories or political beliefs, Matrix Energetics has essentially become its own independent morphic field. It has grown beyond the person who discovered it. Thousands of practitioners globally continue to use this framework to explore the intersection of intention, playfulness, and physical well-being.
So, what does this all mean for us sitting here in the real world? When we strip away the quantum jargon and the wild anecdotes, Matrix Energetics feels less like a traditional medical treatment and much more like a radical invitation.
An invitation to stop taking our physical reality quite so seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's a method to use the field of the heart to bypass the rigid, stressed-out logic of our modern brains.
Ultimately, whether you view this as literal quantum physics shifting reality at the subatomic level, or you view it as a remarkably powerful psychological placebo that uses ritual and play to release deeply trapped trauma from the nervous system, the core lesson remains exactly the same.
It is a masterclass in the immense power of releasing our rigid attachments to outcomes. We spend our whole lives wanting the metaphorical x-ray. We want the clean lines, the guaranteed diagnosis, the step-by-step cure.
We desperately want the logical left brain to be in control of our healing.
But the left brain only sees what it expects to see. It is limited to 28 bytes of historical data. It only allows for the possibilities it is already pre-approved.
Which leaves us trapped in a very small box of what is possible.
So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you go about your day. If the quantum physicists are right, and the atoms that make up your body, your stress, and your entire world are actually just fuzzy clouds of probability waiting for an observer to lock them into place, what everyday miracles are you literally blinding yourself to simply because your left brain has already decided they are impossible?